little ironic that anyone would think that they would really know, including myself, the be-all and the end-all of what goes on at Area 51, because you don't have a need to know. It's kind of like, remember when Donald Rumsfeld was quoted during the Iraq War saying, you know, well, you never know what you don't know? And
right.
People really kind of made fun of him. But it's actually very true. You don't know what you don't know. And there is no better you don't know than Area 51.
And that question is particularly relevant concerning your book and the end of the book, the last seven mm-hmm. pages that has generated so much controversy. A lot of the roadrunners and people who worked out there are a little upset with you because you included that. And this chapter is stuff that they clearly knew nothing about. Go ahead and tell the story. How you contacted the source and what tale he told you.
Well, you know, all of the men in my book know one another. And they are all known to one another, but none of them know what the others know. And this is what it's almost like a perfect enigma in and of itself about Area 51. It's like the riddle inside the puzzle inside the riddle, like Winston Churchill once said of the Soviet Union. But in my book, I report, you know, my book is 400 pages, George, and then over 100 pages of notes. And for 367 pages, I give you straight form journalism, like this happened, and here you can look in the notes, and you can see that I fact-checked against this and that and this document, and Joe corroborated it, and Larry said this, you know, so on and so forth, made up names. Real names in the book, but I'm very clear about how I fact-checked the information. And then at the very end of the book, seven pages left, I say to you, all these great things happened out at Area 51. You know, we were kept safe because of this and the U-2 spy plane and the ox cart and bravo. But, however, dear reader, that's not why Area 51 is still classified. Because remember, the base itself is classified. The word Area 51 is redacted out of all documents except for two which I found looking through the archives, and most likely those are mistakes. And so I lean into the dear reader and I say, here's why it's still classified according to one of my sources, the only source of the 74 who needs to remain anonymous. And here is what he told me. And I tell you, and I'm very clear about saying, here's what he told me. And I'm very clear about saying, there is nothing to check this against because it's still classified. Or the way that I say it is, it's not declassified. And what the source told me was that he worked on the equipment that came from Wright-Patterson, that originally came from Roswell, and that equipment was a flying circular-shaped disc which had been sent not by Martians, but by Joseph Stalin. And I explained to you that this is a single-source story. And I explained to you that the source, his information, his credibility has been fact-checked by me, the author, to the degree that I feel comfortable reporting it to you this way. And I stand by that, George, with all of my gusto, because I believe that what the source told me is true.
You are reporting it as he told it to you. Do you believe that it actually happened this way?
I report it exactly as he told me. I have no reason not to believe him. In the notes, I make a note that it is possible that what the source told me was in part information that had been given to him. In other words, there's clearly what the source knows. What the source did. I absolutely believe the source when he said to me, I received the equipment. I absolutely believe when the source says to me, I received the equipment, and then the really jaw-dropping part that so many people have problems with is the source also told me this round-shaped disc that was sent by Stalin had inside of it child-size aviators. And those child-size aviators had been deformed in some manner, genetic birth defects, possibly genetically somehow manipulated, surgically manipulated. He does not know, does not claim to know, but they were deformed in a manner that made them appear to be otherworldly, and that is where the iconic images of the aliens sprung forth from. And he explained to me that he saw them and dealt with them, meaning, you know, handled them in as much as they were in the hangar with the equipment on life support. And all of that, I absolutely do not doubt the veracity of him when he says to me, this is what I did, and this is what happened. When he explains to me, this is what I was told, this is what I was told where it came from, this is what I was told who was involved in it, that is clearly secondhand information that came to him. And I differentiate between that. And I also do this in 7 pages. And, you know, this is not what my 500-page book is about, but it is, I believe, a very important part of the puzzle and the riddle and the enigma that is Area 51, and that is why I chose to include it in the book. And I wouldn't do it any differently.
Tell me a bit about the source, his background, why you find him credible, and also tell me who told him this stuff, this account.
Well, I have an agreement with the source to keep him anonymous, so what I say is limited, but I'll tell you, George, exactly what I told Terry Gross on NPR and others, in that I examined the sources. The source worked for and with the Atomic Energy Commission across 3 decades. He was given many awards and certificates, all of which I examined. I examined his war records. I examined his military records. I examined his medical records. I interviewed many of his friends and colleagues. I interviewed his family members. I interviewed everything that I, any information that he ever told me, and we interviewed for well over 100 hours across what has now been 2 years. All of the information that he gave me checked out as truthful and fact-based. And so to sort of postulate that he would make up a story, as some have said, it's just, that is not, first of all, it's not my instinct and my experience as a reporter with someone who tells the truth in a 100% of other cases. And it's just not plausible for me. People are welcome to their opinions, but to me, that is what they seem to be.
Describe for me then his team and what they were doing, with the craft, what they were doing with these beings.
Yes, and also, George, remember, as I've discussed with you, the information that he was willing to share with me was very limited, and I make that extraordinarily clear in my book, because we would discuss other aspects of his career with the Atomic Energy Commission, which obviously involved nuclear weapons, since that's what the Atomic Energy Commission is in the business of doing, and certainly was in the 50s and 60s. We would discuss that for hours, and then I would say, may I ask you one or two questions about the subject that is so difficult.